Lord, please reserve a mansion, robe, and crown.
Amen, 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 and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen, and God bless you. We welcome to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ worship service here in Houston, Texas. We are happy to be here this morning. It's been a trying week this past week, but I think that all of us that are listening, that are watching, that are worshiping, we can say God is good. God is good, isn't it? It's going to be, look like another beautiful day. Yesterday was mighty beautiful. I'll tell you what, these bad days make you appreciate these good days. Yes, they do, don't they? Oh, boy, boy, the Lord know how to get our attention when he want to. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. God can shut everything down anytime he get ready. Yes, he can. It's amazing to watch. Boy, this past week, we saw the rich and the poor on the same level. something money can't buy. I was talking to you. We saw gays, and I'm smiling. I'm not making fun of anybody. I tell you what, sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying. We saw gated communities and public housing, both in the same boat. Saw a millionaire, almost a billionaire on television saying, you know, I tell you what, I found out how close we can be to being homeless. You know, we're in the same boat. A lot of folks were freezing, didn't have water, some didn't have food. And I tell you, it's just amazing how things can change so fast, and we are praying for each of you, especially those. Some of us were truly blessed. I was just having a conversation with the few that are in here to ask everybody how they're doing, and some are affected more than others, you know. But the truth is, all of us were affected in some kind of way. I mean, literally, if you had lights the whole time, then you got a generator. Amen. Yeah, you have a good generator too. And some of the generators make you work harder than you not having a generator, putting gas in it and trying to be careful. And so we thanking God. It's a good day to worship the Lord on, because we see things thawing out. And we'll make a few announcements concerning a few things that we're going to be doing at the end of our worship service. But we're just glad that you are able to tune in this morning. Wherever you are, Houston, another state, another country, another city, wherever you are, at home, in the hospital. And we have so many who are suffering in some kind of way, and we have a special prayer for you. But let's worship the Lord today. Thank you for the singing. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for reading the word. And I want to be practical this morning, very practical this morning. I've entitled my lesson three biblical responses to crisis. Three biblical, godly responses, three spiritual responses to crisis. Of course, these are not all the responses that the way we can respond to crisis, but we just want to be practical this morning, because there's always a word from the Lord in every situation. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. That's what the scripture tells us. Who desires crisis? Who desires crisis? I hope you're not raising your hand. Well, I know I'm not raising my hand. I don't. I really try to run from crisis. But can we avoid it? Crisis, not just physical, mental crisis, financial crisis, health crisis, environmental crisis. We don't desire them, but they are so certain. They are so certain. Job, in the book of Job, in Job 14:1, you know the passage, man that is born of woman is of a few days. The scripture says it's a few days, and as I get older, I'm understanding that, you know, some of you say, I'm 80 years old, it's still just a few days. Especially when you compare it to eternity, which what God is not limited by the time limitations we put on in a few days compared to eternity. 80, 100 years old is a few days. He says man is a few days and full of trouble. And, you know, and sometimes you read these passages and they almost depress you. But it's Job, you know what he was, some of you know what he was going through. And our days are full of trouble. There's another passage, I believe, in Job 5 and 7. It says, is that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly up. And you know, sparks fly up. As sure as the sparks fly up, man is born into trouble. And that's true. That is true. Well, why is so much trouble, but Gary? Well, trouble started when sin started in the world. You know, we live in a crooked society. You know, some scholars would say in Noah's day, you know, Noah was preaching. The Bible says he was a preacher of righteousness. But before the flood came, some scholars say that, you know, that one of the reasons why some of the people didn't believe Noah when he was preaching because it never had rained. I don't know how true or untrue that is, but you know, he preaching that God going to destroy this land. You get ready. He's coming. He's going to destroy it by rain. It never rained before, so they didn't believe Noah when he was preaching that. But did the rain come? It came, and it was a catastrophe. And I was looking in the Bible, and you know, it was a weather event. You know, we had a weather event this past weekend. And just a reminder that who's in control. And you know what? And the scripture also teaches us it's going to be a weather event when Jesus comes again. Amen, somebody. We better pay attention to God. The scripture says he's going to come in clouds, right? You know what else the scripture says? It says that all the elements will be burned up. Lord have mercy. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I tell you what. You know, in that day, it was evil continually on the earth, and God got tired of it, and he created, you know, there is this, you know, this emphasis on climate control and climate change. And now we're having all of these extremes in weather. You know, we broke all kinds of records this week when the temperatures were so low, and this Arctic freeze came out of the northwest and sent an Arctic freeze from north to south. But God can do it when he wants to, okay? And we're having all of these extremes. And even, you know, even those who are adept and knowledgeable of the weather, they will say that all of this climate change and some would call it global warming, all these weather extremes are, you know what they are called? He said they are caused by abuse. Mankind has been abusing the environment and the ozone layer and causing all of these, with pollution in the air. I don't know how true all of it is, but I know what, sin is a problem in this world. Sin is sin, and God not going to stand for sin always, but we're talking about our response to Christ. We don't like crisis, but it's here. You know, and while we living, as sure as we living, we're going to deal with crisis. And it would be wise for us as Christians, especially those who are seeking to be pleasing to God, it would be wise to us to consult what God, how God wants us to deal with these things that we're dealing with almost every single day. Because if you don't have a way to deal with them, Lord, we'll do it our way. And I don't know about you, but I gave up on my way a long time ago because I soon realized, Gary, you not control. You control your a little bit. Oh my goodness, but that's something we can't control. And so in Scripture, we discover two important realities in Scripture. The first one is that some crises can actually be avoided, you know, according to Scripture. It can be avoided by biblical, righteous, and wise living. That's the part we need to focus on, the part that we do control. You know the passage in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. The Bible says, blessed is that man, a woman who lives a life dedicated to God, dedicated to his word, who avoids the scornful, who doesn't walk in the way of the wicked. He said, blessed is that man. And it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Yes, he that bringeth forth fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does, it shall prosper. That's what the scripture teaches us. The ungodly, the scripture says, are not so. And so God has a blessing for those who trying to live for God. Yeah, who stay in the word, who we flee from evil and wicked ways. It's not to say that our life is going to be perfect, but does anybody need some blessings while we're in this crooked world? Yeah. And in scripture says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, are like the wind, which drives the chaff away. And so let's... We don't need to be bringing no harm on ourselves. We don't need to bring the wrath of God on us. We don't need to bring the wrath of mankind on us if we can avoid it. And there are other passages that teach us that crisis can be avoided. You know, we see that many of the saints in the scriptures were tested. They were tested by this world. But Lord, I tell you what, God gave a lot of them some rest. Yes, he did. He gave Joseph rest after Joseph went through his trials. He gave Joshua rest after Joshua obeyed God. And God will give us some rest if we try to do things his way. That's blessings even while we're right here on earth. Yes, there are. But secondly, we learn that also the realities of life, that no matter what we do or how we live, crisis is going to visit us. Yeah. And crisis don't knock at your door all the time and say, can I come in? It doesn't send you an invitation in the mail said, I'll be by your house next Tuesday. Or you're going to be getting a bad doctor's report next month or next year. Sometimes crisis just enters without invitation. You don't even know it's coming. You don't see it's coming. Brother Arthur read, and you're hearing a few moments ago in John chapter 16. You stay with me now. Everybody, you got your coffee? I won't be that long. Just allow the Lord to speak to us this morning. John 16:13. These things, Jesus is speaking, I've spoken to you so that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. You may have peace. We need to embrace that. In Jesus, we may have peace. He says, in the world, you have tribulation. Even Jesus attested to it. He said, in the world, you might as well buckle your seatbelt, tighten your belt up. Don't live in fantasy land. I don't know why all this stuff happening. Oh, come on now. Come on. You're not in the same the boat by yourself. But yeah, some people stand next to them. Their house, they roof, they everything fine, and they have, why my house? Well, it's your time this time. They'll have their time. don't fret because some people, ooh, I don't know why I'm no more. I don't know why all this stuff happened. God, come on now. Come on. Maybe a little child might not understand, but if you grown and you listen, come on now. Jesus said, listen, get ready. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Did Jesus have tribulation? Yeah. Son of God had tribulation. He says, in the world, you have tribulation. And it comes in different forms at different times. Yeah. And then I don't want to be lighthearted because some of us going through it right now. But the scripture says, but take courage. Take courage. Take courage. Jesus says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And I know we have grown to do. We have grown to get to the point when we can embrace what Jesus did, how he handled crisis. But that's the scripture says, you have peace in Jesus Christ. Let's see if we can learn a little bit more about that. And so let's explore a little bit the Word of God to see if he can guide us in how we respond in the crisis, okay? Number one is, it's not as bad as we think. I don't want to minimize what we're going through. But my understanding is, and I'm paraphrasing this before I read some passages. Let's not blow things out of proportion. Let's not blow things out of proportion. Now, sometimes things are as bad as they seem. We can't minimize that. Things are, you know. And then it seems like sometimes they were. Sometimes the death angel visits our families. And you know, sometimes we go long, and some of our families, there's not a death in the family. Haven't been a death in the family for 20 years. And then sometimes, you know, my grandmother, I hear the old people saying, it seems like death comes in threes. I don't know if that's true or not, but I tell you what, the death hadn't visited our personal family for a long time. But boy, I tell you what, when it came, some of you can relate to it. Some of you can't yet. Oh, but like daddy, I can hear my daddy say, son, just keep on. You can finish it, can't you? Say, just keep on living. Keep on living. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm not minimizing the fact that things don't happen and we go through things. But really, you know, in most cases, over the course of our lives, you know, crisis, you think a lot of us have been through a lot of things already. Sometimes they end up kind of just disappearing. They evaporate. And some of us have gone through some things we've almost forgotten about in our lifetime, especially those of you who are seasoned saints. But when you were going through them, Lord, have mercy. You know. And so some things happen, and you know, some things happen every day. You know, how many of you lost your keys lately? losing your keys can put you in a panic. I've done it so many times. I got extra keys all over the place now. I've done it too many times, and it's probably gonna happen again. You know, how many of you ever had a flat tire? Flat tire can put you in chaos, can't it? But can I ask a question? Did you get a new tie? Did somebody come by and help you? Did you find your keys? No, but God never found. Well, did you get some new keys? And so I'm not saying that it's nothing wrong when we go through crisis, but let's don't blow them. You know, some of us have, our relationships have broken. And Lord, my goodness gracious. And who wants to a broken relationship? Especially if you young right now, if you watching right now, you a teenager and you have a breakup and it seems like the world is ended. I got news for you. The world haven't ended yet. And life will go on. And sometimes you're going to find out it's best you broke up before you got married. You might haven't found out that yet. Well, some of us has been married. Some folks have gone through divorce. They probably wish they would have broke up before. Yeah, sometimes we have disagreements with people. And you know, the scripture says this. Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement in the church. And they ended up going, both going that way. But Lord's work didn't stop. It didn't stop. And they ended up getting back together. See, sometimes things going to happen. Let's analyze what part we're playing in it. But don't just throw the towel in and Lord have mercy and I don't know what I'm going to do. What you're going to do is hold on. You're going to take courage. Yeah, yeah. As long as you got life in your blood, Lord have mercy. The flood, this past week, the ice was everywhere. It was cold as it could be. Folks were complaining, Lord, what are we going to do? But thank God for today. Sun is shining today. I mean, you know, hey, So I don't know. Lord, help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. I was just looking. Let me give you one example. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 2. Exodus 16, 2. This is the Old Testament. But the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Now that God had rescued them out of Egyptian bondage, they in the wilderness. And now they've been in slavery 400 plus years. God rescued them out of there. Sent them home their way. Performed all of these miracles. Now they're in the wilderness and the folks grumbling. And the scripture says in verse 3, the sons of Israel said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread until we were full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill us, kill this entire assembly with hunger. They got hungry. Yeah. Now, hunger will make you act up. It will make you. Some of you know how to act ugly when you're hungry. I'm one of them. I get quiet when I'm hungry, real quiet. What's wrong with you? You know what's wrong. Yeah. Oh my goodness! But did they blow this out of proportion? They blew. Was it that bad? So, what you mean, bro? I mean, when you're hungry, you're hungry. But God performed miracles. He killed all of Pharaoh's men in the Red Sea. That even while they were complaining, you read the scripture for you. While they complained, God had a pillar of fire during the daytime. God had a pillar, a cloud over them, right over the people. They could see it, the presence of God protecting them in the daytime. He had a pillar of fire over them at nighttime. This is God. This is a miracle. It's happening right before them, and they whining and complaining. Like God is nowhere near. Oh, you should have left us, boy. I tell you what, you know, the human in me, boy, if I was Moses, I'd say, gone back. I would have loved that. Y'all, you ungrateful. And then God produces manna out the sky. He produces food for them. But he only produced enough food for a day at a time. Testing their faith. When are these people going to appreciate? When are these people going to learn that I'm with them? Yeah. And he gave them food every single day. Yeah. And so let's don't be faithless. Listen to Matthew chapter 16, verse 8. Matthew 16, 8. But Jesus, this is to his apostles. He's aware of this said. He said this to them, and he might well have said it to us. You men of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand nor remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you picked up, nor the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many large baskets? This is Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 15, Matthew chapter 14. Jesus performed these miracles. He feeds 5,000, then he feeds 4,000, and now his own apostles say, Lord, where are we going to get bread from? What in the world? My goodness. Only, you know, it seemed like they would just say, you know what, we need to just ask Jesus for some bread. And he said to them, as he says to us, O ye of little faith. Yeah, O ye of little faith. And so I would say a biblical response to crisis let's don't blow stuff out of proportion. Yes. Yeah. Don't blow it out. Number two is the biblical response is to remain as calm as we can. Practical response. Remain as calm as we can. We need this one. Yeah, we need this one. And see, because a lot of time when we overreact, it's out of sense of panic. And we end up making a frustrating situation worse when we overreact. You know, what you mean overreact, Brigitte? Well, you know how we, you know, some of us are emotional. We got different personalities. I understand that. Some of us are introverts. Some of us are extrovert. You know, we get emotional. And you know, what I found out? I found that, especially those of us, you have children, whether you have young children, even some of our, our children will respond in crisis like they see the parents respond. Many times they emulate. If you out of control, every time something happen, you out of control, they grow up seeing that, and they end up acting the same way we act. Now, you don't have to amen. You don't have to say nothing. I'm just making an observation. You scream, they know how to scream. Yeah. You know, some situations make you cry. Lord Jesus, they will make you cry. But, you know, you got crying and then you got extreme crying. Yeah, I love you. Help me, Jesus. We got you. We all trying to grow. You know, I see sometimes we hyperventilate. We almost get out of breath when we get in panic situations. We hyperventilate. You know, sometimes we make impulse. We make impulsive action. We impulsively do something. Yeah. You know, and I'm trying to get some wisdom from God and Lord. How you want us to act? How you want us to be? Yeah. David's put it this way. David said this in Psalms 131:2. He says, I have certainly soothed and quieted my soul. That's what you know David. That's King David. You know, David's own son captured his kingdom from him, had him running wild. And it seems, all of us are not here. Lord, all of us are not here. Some of us are more mature than others. But at this particular time, when the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this, he said, it's like he wasn't always there. But he says, I've soothed and quieted my soul. And you know, that tells me that, you know, we do have control over how we act. And sometimes we have to speak to ourselves to say, you know what, self, calm down. Those of us as children of God, as Christians, you know that God has the power. Sometimes we need to calm. Yeah, we need to calm ourselves down. Because when we don't, it just demonstrates a lack of faith in God. He goes on, he says, like a weaned child resting against his mother. My soul within me is like a weaned child. And you know, thank the Lord that the men don't have to feed the babies like that. So excuse me, sister, I don't know. I'm just happy for you. Thank the Lord. I'm glad you do a good job. You do a wonderful job. But have you seen a child that's just content, don't need no more, and now they just as happy as they can be? Can we be content? Whoo! Even during a storm. Yeah. That's it. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15 says, "Let the peace of Christ, to which you were indeed called in one body, rule in your hearts." You remember when Jesus, when his apostles were on that boat in the storm, and the storm was raging, and Jesus was doing what? Some of you know, read your Bible. What was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. I tell you, well, that's some hard sleep. It's a storm, and I'm not, I ain't Jesus, I'm not either. I wouldn't have been asleep. I've been looking at them waves, and hold up there. Y'all, somebody got to get Jesus. Oh, Jesus! Wake up! Yeah, hey, listen, I tell you what, I said a few extra prayers this week. Them lights went out. At first they went out, I'm fine. I'm fine. I say, well, they'll be on in a minute. They didn't come back on. Hey, I said, oh, we need some more cover, baby. And after a while, you get to a little answer. Okay, it's time to, I was telling some of the brothers, look, I hadn't lit my fireplace in so long, I was scared to light it. But after a while, that coal will make you go light that. It took me a while to get it lit, but I lit that thing. Yes, that did. But even if you're going through Christ, there ought to come a time for those of us that's growing, those of us that's learning, those of us that's trying to be more like, there ought to come to a time when we say, you know what? We need to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Yeah. Not panic. Not confusion. Don't let that rule, because you know what fear does to you. Fear to a drowning person, panic makes you drown faster. And he said, let the peace rule. And then it says, and be thankful. You don't want to hear that one, do you? And be thankful. Did your food run a little short? Some of our food. Grocery stores, and then some of you couldn't go to the grocery store. And when you can't get something, you start saying, well, I don't have nothing to eat. There ain't nothing to eat. You don't have no water. You don't have no. And this is not just talking about this storm. This is talking about anything that's going on in our life that's a crisis. Even when we're going through a crisis, whether it's a relationship, whether it's financial, you can be in financial crisis and still be thankful to God. Amen, somebody. Let me say this. If you got a roof over your head, you better be thankful. Yeah, and he said be thankful. So, yeah, you may not have been able to go to Saltgrass. You know, some of us, we so used to this curbside service and delivery called DoorDash. Oh, look, all I'm going to do is call DoorDash. DoorDash wasn't delivering this week. You might couldn't do that, but you got something in there. What you got in there? Yeah. Them crackers you have made. Yeah. Some of us went back to peanut butter this week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know everybody's not in that boat, but I have to ask this question: is there something we can be thankful for? Yeah. And you know, you don't have to look that far to be thankful. You don't have to look that far. And so especially when in situations where we absolutely have no control, you know, the scripture says in Psalms 4:4, tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. Be still. Yeah. Yeah. Be still. Be still. I want to tell you a personal story, but I don't want my wife to get mad at me. See, I'm in a house of women, you know, and I'm not saying women are weak. I'm not saying that at all. But you used to things and you just used to things. Okay, sometimes women are going to tell you, okay, it's time to go. It's time to move. And some of us can take more than others. And I'm like, well, where are we going? Where are we going? What you going to do? Where are we going? Can't we just be? Well, we did have to move. We moved. We did have to find some heat. But when we found the heat, it went out. So we had to go back. And we got back. Guess what we did? Got still. Amen, somebody. She ain't gonna be mad at me. Baby, I love you, sweetheart. I love you. We got still, and and a couple of a cut steel, and get what the Lord did? Boom! Turn them lights on. Praise the Lord. Let me hurry up in here. This is not the final response, but this is one response the scripture gives us. Connect, stay connected to the body. This is especially to the saints. It's a calling to those who are not in the body. And I say the body. The body is the church. Colossians 1:18, Ephesians 1:22 and 23. The body is the church. Stay connected to the church. I'm talking about a biblical response. The scripture would say in Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. See, if you're not in one another, if you're not another connected to another, this wouldn't apply to you. You go back to first Galatians 1:1-2, you see he's talking about to the church. He talked to Christians. He said to the Christians, Christians are the family. It's the ecclesia. It's the assembly. It's the call out of the word. And God made this family for a reason. It's where all he want all his children. It's where the blessings are. Some of us don't take advantage of it. Some of us don't use it. Some of us, you be careful about your pride also, even those of you that's in the church. See this men, this we have to be dangerous about that. We say, well, people need to fend for themselves. I know, you're right. Yes, because it says in Galatians 5, for each one will bear his own load. So you don't just totally depend on the church, on the body for everything. That we can handle it. Yeah. Amen. And so we need to be responsible. But whoever, there come a time that all of us going to need some help from somebody at some time. Yeah, everybody going to need some help sometime. You know what I mean? I tell you, when you go through some death in your family, you think you strong. When somebody close to you die, and you trying to bear the load alone. But in the body, we got connections. Yeah. And he says, stay connected to the body. We blessed. You know, we had our, some of you were on our call, checking on the saints call this past Wednesday. And many of you were on, and we just took a roll call. And remember, one after one was stating their names, their family name, and how they were affected. I don't want to call the names, but a lot of them said, this is so-and-so and so-and-so. My pipes busted, ceiling busted, water all over my floors. Lights been off ever since the storm started. Lights, all kinds of reports of individuals who were lacking in food and lacking in shelter, staying at my neighbor, staying at my, you know, in a hotel. The hotel lights went off. But one by one, they were reporting what was going on. One by one, we were being strengthened also. Some were saying that listen, hey, I'm blessed. Don't know lights, but blessed. Got food, got my fireplace, blessed. Thankful that we can even communicate with each other and voice what's going on. Thankful that somebody care to even ask. Many individuals are going through this by themselves, still fending for themselves. Our elders were on the line. Many were responded after the call. Things were going on. Needs were being met because they were connected to the body. Power in the body. Power in the body, power in just talking. Sometimes it's just talking. I want to read this and I'm going to close. In Acts chapter 12, verse 11, Acts 12, 11, when Peter came to himself, Peter had been before Herod. He was in jail. He came to himself. He said, now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod, from all that the Jewish people were expecting. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. That's the church. That's the body of Christ while Peter was in jail and they still thought he was in jail, they got together and let's say, let's pray for Peter. And they were praying. Peter got out of jail. They didn't know it. And he went to Mary's house. The scripture says, when he knocked at the door of the gate, a slave woman named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in the front of the gate. She didn't even, Peter out there knocking, they, let me in, baby. Oh, my goodness. She didn't even open the gate. She was so happy. And they said to her, you are out of your mind. The people, they didn't believe, the crowd didn't believe, but she kept insisting that it was so. They said, it's an angel, girl, that ain't Peter. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. Tell me there's not some power in the power in prayer and power in the body. Hey, man, praise the Lord. Well, that's in the first century. Well, let me tell you about the 21st century. Do you not know after the call this past Wednesday, my wife said, "Woo, sister so-and-so text me and say her lights came on while we was on the call." So I'm not kidding. Not just one. One of our elders got said, "Man, our lights came on right after the call." Oh, but again, that's just a coincidence. Oh, that's what you say. But you know who we gonna give glory to? Yeah, we gonna give glory to God. Yeah, a biblical response to crisis. Things are not always as bad as they seem. Let's don't blow stuff out of proportion. We're not minimizing. Let's stay calm. Stay calm. You just make everybody nervous by us just being. I know the strong bad infirmities are weak. I'm not saying everybody gonna be strong, but it don't do much good when everybody's out of control. No good. Your children, people watching. Ooh, daddy, he hollering and screaming. Stay connected to the body. Oh, stay connected to the body. God is good. You here this morning, you're not a child of God. You need to be. You've been watching announcements as they come before worship, all announcer slides. Well, I'm just so proud of our social media team and how they're working to try to share this news and information. And they put up all of the baptizers have been baptized into the body, new members of the body of Christ. You need to be a member. If you're not a member, you need to be. Come by faith. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You willing to repent of your sins? You willing to confess Christ? You willing to be baptized? What you waiting on? Come on. Hey, Barbara, we got water up there?
Yes, sir.
We got some water? You want some water? We got some water. We'll baptize you. So you call us and we'll baptize. If you have a prayer request, if you're on Facebook Live, type it in. You can email us to prayer.org and we'll respond to your request. So we'll make some announcements at the end. But if you want to be added to the body of Christ, you need to do that. You need to do that today. You can come as we sing the song of invitation. God bless you. Thank you.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing?